I gave you my heart. presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here.
Testify the blessings on blessings you poured on my life. When I start remembering how good you've been, yeah, yeah. Fear turns to worship, tears turn to praise, chains of depression broken by grace. When I start remembering how good you've been. So good to me. Yeah. You've been so good to me. Yeah. So good. The enemy's weapons fall to the ground. Armies of heaven always surround. When I start with
Jacob, what are you doing?
Well, carrying in the water.
You look like you're being in a water balloon fight with the kids again. But what are you doing? What are you doing with the water?
Well, we got to get back to the end, don't we?
I appreciate all your help with decorating and... Fake water.
Tell me I was all this in here for nothing.
I don't think Pastor Sean would be really pleased if we did a real waterfall.
He's my insurance.
Well, I think it's still a better idea that we use
all the
decorations. We're ready to start decorating tomorrow. I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But you're doing really well, but we can't do that water. I tell you what you could do. You could go out and water the plants.
I ain't watering no damn
plants. You know, what are you going
to
do with it? Okay, it was supposed to win all over everybody, but that's okay, you probably don't mind. Okay, you see all the decorations? Tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, if you volunteer to decorate, we're going to start decorating tomorrow evening at 6, or we're going to get it all organized. If you are a station leader, I need to speak to you directly after church to make sure you know what's going on and what you may need. So we're all ready to get started. This is crunch time. This is the week we get ready, because next Monday we start. So we need prayer for everybody involved, especially me. I do get a little short sometimes, and I apologize ahead of time. It's time that we get this going. And you see, we've got all kinds of good stuff to work with. So, okay, let's get the choir started and get this out of the way.
You can stand to your feet right now. We're going to worship the Lord. If you've come for any other reason than to worship Jesus, I want you to kind of reset your mind. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I know everybody here loves freedom, amen. I love spiritual freedom as well. But here's the deal. If you've come for any other reason than to worship the Lord, then please put everything to the side right now, okay? This Sunday is the first day of the week on the calendar. This is a way to get reset and ready to go for this week, amen? Let's worship God.
E cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You go before me. You shield my way. Your hand upholds me. I know you love me. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil.
Questions become clear, and for that sacred moment, no doubt can can interfere in the presence of Jehovah God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish. His love the Lord provided a place for us to rest, a place to find the answers in the hour of distress. Now there's never any reason for you to give up in despair. Just slip away and breathe His name. He will surely meet you there in the
God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Yeah, bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
God, you're so good. Wonder if we could raise our hands and worship the Lord just a few more minutes. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. God, we worship you and magnify your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen, has anybody ever encountered a situation where somebody walks by the room maybe you're in? I do that sometimes with the Sunday school teachers. I'll be walking by, and I'm not sure if they saw me or not, and I want to speak to them that morning, so I stop, and I duck my head back in the door, and I go, because I want to make sure that I recognize them and I see them, because I think that's important. I want you to understand the Lord just stopped, peeked back in the door and went, y'all with me? He said, don't let it be said that I'm not speaking to you, because I am. And we should be honored by that. And you've heard me say this 1,000 times. When we start taking that for granted, we might as well lock the doors back there. Because I'm so thankful for a God that'll give us and grace us with his presence. And I never want to take that for granted. I don't know about you, but I never want to take for granted the presence of God, because if we don't have that, we're nothing but a social club. But when you got the authentic move of the Holy Spirit like we've had this morning, manifestations and all, we need to honor the Lord. Can we raise our hands and honor him this morning? Father, we thank you, Lord, and praise you, God, because you desire to be among your people, Father. You desire to inhabit the praise of your people. And Father, we're so grateful for that. We're thankful for that. God, we worship you this morning and magnify your holy name, God, because great is your name, God, and greatly to be praised. God, we worship you and magnify you, God, and put you above all, Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, God, as we lay hands on her, Father, we're asking God for you to touch and to heal her body in the name of Jesus, from the top of her soles to the bottom of her feet. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, God, we thank you, Father, for a touch of the move of the Holy Spirit, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus right now, God, I thank you, Father. Praise you, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Father. Praise your holy name. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, we worship you, God, and magnify your holy name. Lord, we thank you, Father, and praise you, God. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, we worship you. Lord, we magnify you, Father. We thank you, Father, and praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's something I've been thinking about this week, and I won't preach in just a few minutes, but I've been thinking about this, and honestly, I think, if memory serves me correct, at that age where it comes and goes, to be honest with you. But me and Kelly were sitting on in our chairs, just, you know, kicked back, enjoying the empty nest life, and talking about how good God had been to us. And then I think we started talking about the church. And I'm going to testify in just a few minutes there about that. But as we were talking, I told Kelly, I said, I don't know if this makes sense to you. I said, I almost feel ashamed sometimes how good God is to me. And if you've never felt that way, man, I would urge you to start walking more in the Lord's ways, to where you're so blessed, Joe, that you go, you know what? I don't know what to do. I don't deserve this. I didn't do anything for this. It's just His favor that's on my life. And I'm going to tell you, I feel like He's been better to me than He has anybody. That's just my thought there, right? And if you feel that way, would you look at two or three people and say, He's been better to me than He has to anybody? It's all right to brag on the Lord like that. I feel like He's been better to me than He has anybody. Doesn't mean anything about you. Just means that the Lord is absolutely bless me. And it's like you get blessed and you don't even realize why. You don't even know why. You don't understand why it is that God would bless you in the way that He does. But I'm going to tell you something. So we're going to be like the blind guy who was not blind anymore, but when he was healed, remember, they came and said, say he's a sinner. And he didn't know a lot. Like, this guy was, he didn't understand a lot, didn't know a lot. They said, say he's a sinner. And finally, he just told him, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. I don't know anything but this. I was once blind, but now I see. Amen. It's as simple as that. I don't know what. I don't understand the theology all the time. I don't understand what God's doing. I just know this. He's doing something, and He's doing it for me. Amen. Yeah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise and appreciation. Amen. Amen. God is so good to each and every one of us. You can be seated if you wish, if you can. Been good to be in the presence of the Lord this morning. And as we said, it's great to see an authentic move of the Holy Spirit and see people respond. And God's always faithful to show up whenever we're in the midst of worshiping Him and magnifying Him. And we're so thankful for all that He does. And we're going to take this time to wait on you for your tithe and offering. And as the ushers come, this is the testimony, I think, that sort of spurred my thought on that day when we were talking there in the living room. And it was, I'm pretty sure it was concerning the church. And many of you know, we sort of took up an offering. We had an alms Sunday, our fifth Sunday, to try to take up an offering for the floor back there. And I told you, I thought we got about a third of the way there, or whatever. And the Lord had been landed on somebody's heart. And anyway, long story short, the exact amount that was laid on that person's heart was the exact amount that we needed to buy the floor back there. I'm going to tell you something. If that ain't God, I don't know what is. Amen. The Lord is great. And I need to testify to that. I told Kelly, I said, it's been since we done this. And I'm going to tell you one more story. Some of you have heard it, but that's all right. I said, it's been since we've done this that we've really had to depend on the Lord. And what I mean by that is, if you do something that you can do, it's not a vision from the Lord. That's something you can do. You should be doing it. Right? But when you get something that you can't in yourself do and accomplish, and God has to help you do that, that's what's from God. I'm going to tell you, when we got ready to build this, I tell this story all the time. Sister Vicki Wooten back there, and it, great to have advisors around you like that. We got ready to build this building. She said, that's great. She said, but I got a question. I saw it. She said, how are we going to pay utilities out there? Like, we stay in red a lot in that fund. I said, I'm not sure neither, Vicki. That's a great question. I just know the Lord is directing, and I'm going to tell you, time after time after time, the Lord has met needs here. And I don't usually go on about this, but I got to testify to the goodness of the Lord. Some of you have heard about my drop ceiling story back there. We wanted to put a drop ceiling in the kitchen, and the guy that could do it was leaving in like 2 days, 3 days. And he said, man, I'll do that for you for $1,000. But this is the truth. We didn't have $1,000 to give him. I went in there in the office and prayed. I said, Lord, I'd like to get this done so it's complete, but I really don't have $1,000. If I had it, I'd give it right now, but I don't have it. And I don't know, 30 minutes later or something, a guy that doesn't even go to church here stops, knocks on the door. I can see him knock on the door. I let him in. He comes in, sits down. He says, I don't know what's going on, but I was writing my tithe out to my church. He said, the Lord sort of tugged on my heart to bring you this money. Guess how much it was? I said, thank you, sir, for obeying the Lord. Walked in, told the contractor. I said, go ahead and put that in. He said, I thought you didn't have the money. I said, I didn't, but the Lord did. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So we appreciate your giving and know that it's going for the uplift, the build of the kingdom. So if you would just bow your heads just for a moment. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, and thankful, God, that you're always so faithful, Lord, to build and uplift your kingdom, Father. It's not about us. It's not about anything that we gain or anything. It's all about doing ministry and doing work for you. And Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that where you guide, you will provide. And Lord, that you have provided this need that we had. And Father, we just know, God, that you're going to continue to do that. And we pray, Lord, for those that have to give, those that do not. And we ask, Lord, that everything that's took up here today would be for the uplift and build of your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, as they wait on you for your tithe and offering, make a few announcements here. It's something different just about every year. I think last year I posted about when I came in, and I can't remember now if there was monkeys hanging around everywhere, or I can't remember what page Jeffrey down the hallway there, but there was stuff everywhere, and I said, man, you know, it's VBS time when you come in, and there's, I don't know if there's clouds or webs or something, I said, hanging everywhere, and monkeys hanging everywhere. And I come up here and I'm reminded that VBS is on its way, and so we're going to kick off VBS in a week or so, and so excited about that. It's always a great rally point for the church, and we're hoping for a really good turnout this year. I think next Sunday is Father's Day, isn't it? So next Sunday's Father's Day, as usual, we'll be doing some pictures with the family. So we hope everybody can come out and be with us for that. But we're going to continue and then sort of close today with our sermon series we've been on about living beyond the prompt. And so we're going to recap a little bit to begin with. And as I think I told you last week, after I got to thinking about this and mulling it over, it almost came to me that I know what was spurring this sermon series on, and it was my fear of what we may allow AI to do. And I'll make this disclaimer because I make it every time. A lot of people use it. I use it. You've heard me say I probably use it as much as anybody in here. I do not fear AI in that way. I feel like it's a tool. But you heard me say the first Sunday that if we're not careful, it could take the place of spiritual direction in our lives that only the Lord wants to give. And that was one of my biggest fears. And last week we talked about how that if we're not careful, it may isolate us even more, if that's even possible. And you hear me talk about it all the time, living in an age of isolation where we don't have a big front porch anymore. We got a little stoop for you to get in out of the rain while you knock on the door, but you don't have the big porches anymore. And it's just the culture that says, hey, you can stop by, get out of the rain, knock on the door, but sitting around's probably not an option. I think we're isolated in that way. And technology, of course, has made us even more isolated to the extent, of course, that people lack communication skills and how to get things across. And you heard me say it last week. I know this is as much for the younger folks as it is for anybody. But those were my fears, were that we would allow the AI, as it advances, to take the place, a direction that God could give, and the fellowship or the interaction that we need. Remember the fivefold? How many remember the fingers there? Some of you remember. I won't go back over that. But I wanted you to understand how important it was to come together as a congregation to learn and grow, and you just can't get that through artificial intelligence. And that leads us up to the message this morning, and it's going to be a fear that I have, a reservation, maybe should be the word there, that I have, but also what you and I can do to sort of combat that a little bit. And we heard that in the message and the interpretation that was given out when the Lord said, ask. Ask. He said, I'm with you, right? You're asking for something, and I've given it to you time and time again. So if you have your Bibles, you want to open up with me and stand with me for the reading of God's Word. They're going to put it up on the screen here, and so that everybody knows in here, this wasn't sort of made up, right? This scripture was given to them when I first come in the door this morning before anybody else got here. Sort of sounds familiar to the message and interpretation that we're given. Jesus was praying in a certain place. It's Luke chapter 11, by the way. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me, the door is now shut, my children are with me in the bed, I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not give it up and give him anything because of his friend, but because of his persistence there, I think is the way that it's stated in most versions, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Let me stop right here and interject. The disciples are wanting a formula on how to pray. And there's nothing wrong with a formula on how to pray. They're wanting to know, how do I pray? And Jesus is sort of giving them an outline. And we've all heard teaching on the Lord's Prayer and how it's sort of an outline of how you can get into your prayer talk there with the Lord as you're talking to him. But then Jesus sort of gives them something above and beyond even what they're asking for. So Jesus goes beyond the schematics of what a prayer needs to look like. And he encourages them with the one thought that really that you need with prayer here. when he says, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. And then he gives them an analogy here when he says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, he will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You can be seated if you wish. And I hope I don't lose you here in the beginning of this and sort of laying this out before we get to where we want to go. But I read that portion of Scripture to make you understand there's an evolution here of the conversation taking place between Jesus and the disciples. The disciples, like many of us, it's human nature to want answers to problems in ways that we can understand them. I think that's why we love Google and AI so much. We can ask it a specific question and it gives us a specific answer. That's why we love self-help books, because it's 12 steps to this, 8 steps to that, 6 steps to this. Everybody wants this kind of roadmap burner that says, if I do X, Y, and Z, I get what I want on the other side. Well, how many of you have lived long enough to know that you can do X, Y, and Z and you don't always get? Are y'all with me? Jesus here is trying to get across to them. Look, fellas, it's great to have this outline, if you will. But I'm telling you this. No matter how you ask it, just keep asking it. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep pounding on it. Just like he gave the unjust judge parable when he said, hey, I don't fear God, I don't fear man, but because this woman is worrying me to death, I'm going to give her what she wants. That is the idea here that Jesus is trying to get them to, and then he takes them on a little bit deeper. In my opinion, this is how I understand this portion of Scripture. He says this, ask and it'll be given. They say, how to ask? And he says, well, you can ask this way, but the key is to keep asking, right? Keep asking, because even you give good stuff to your kids. How much more will God give you? And then he says this, the Holy Spirit to them who ask. And I need you to understand what Jesus is doing. They want to know how to pray. Jesus says, well, you can use this outline to get going. But understand, you're going to have to pray and pray. And just as you know how to give good gifts, God's going to give the Holy Spirit to you. And that's going to cure your first problem, which is knowing how to pray. Are y'all with me or not? So Jesus laid this out, and it's an evolution of not just how to pray. But he's saying, if you receive the Holy Spirit, if you'll ask, he said, God's going to give it to you. And that Holy Spirit will be able to lead you, direct you, guide you, help you to pray. And listen to me, before we even get started, let me precursor this. We do this every time. Some of you that have been here last 2 or 3 months probably think this is all we talk about. And it's not, but it's just how the Lord's laid it out. Right now, we believe once you get saved, that Holy Spirit comes and dwells on the inside of you. But we also believe that there's another experience that you can have where you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? And he's saying if you'll ask, the Holy Spirit will come. And those things that you have questions for, that's what the Holy Spirit does. I see it like this. Jesus is teaching them that you're going to have a lot of questions. They ask him a lot of questions during his time in ministry here. And he's saying this, you're going to have a lot of questions. I don't know about you, but I question stuff every day. Like I don't get on there a lot anymore, but I can glance at Facebook for 30 seconds and walk away with 6 questions. And think, man, if I knew the answer to those, I'd write a book, right? 15 steps to something, and I'd make a bunch of money off of it. But this world will give you more questions than you have answers for. The Lord knew that, and so what he's saying is, if you keep asking questions, you're going to have questions all the time. But here's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to give you somebody else that's going to dwell in you, that's going to walk with you, and when you have those questions, the next time you find yourself in a jail cell getting ready to be martyred for me, and you wonder what's going to go on or how do I pray in this instance, he's saying this. If you ask God, he'll give you that Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead you, direct you, and guide you right where you're at. No matter what situation you're in, you've got somebody who will give you direction in every area of your life. I think we all know that. Hang with me here. We're getting to artificial intelligence in just a minute. But Jesus is saying, pray, you'll get the Holy Spirit, and anytime you're confronted with a situation, he's there to help you. But here's what happens to a lot of us. It's like King Saul. Y'all remember King Saul? The Israelites wanted the choice, right? Man, I tell you what, I love freedom, but it gets us in more trouble, right? They said, we want a king like everybody else has got a king. They're looking on the outside, right? So they said, the big tall guy. We want the big tall guy because they wanted somebody who had the look, right? They didn't want a ruddy boy like David. They wanted somebody who had the look. They said, anoint Saul as king. God warned them, it ain't going to turn out right. But God is loving enough to say this, if that's what you want, that's what you'll get. So he anoints Saul as king. Well, when it comes time for the thing to happen, Saul's been anointed king. It's ready for him to take his place. The Bible says they get there and can't find him anywhere. This guy that was evident, taller than everybody else, he sort of vanished on them. They don't know where he's at. And finally they find him, and somebody says he's hiding among the stuff. That's what the Bible says, the stuff. He's lost in all that stuff. He's got the anointing, and he's called to do something, but you can't see him. He can't operate because he's sort of stuck in all this stuff. Can I tell you something? The church has been anointed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We got the Holy Spirit that's greater than anything else. We're still carrying the big gun when it comes to conversion and all those other things. Bells and whistles are nice, but I'm going to tell you something. Nothing takes the place of an authentic move of the Holy Ghost that will draw people to an altar and see them saved. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given anointing to walk in, but you know where we find ourselves most of the time? Stuck over there in a bunch of stuff. We get mired down with all the things that are around us, the technology and all those things, and it's great. But don't get stuck in the stuff. Your anointing is made to lead. Your anointing is made to walk in. And then, and I'm getting ready to preach here in a minute, Saul, he's anointed king, and he begins to walk as king. If we don't make that mistake, here's the mistake we make. Saul starts walking in his anointing, starts leading the nation of Israel. And sometimes when you're in those positions, that's why the Bible says you better be careful, because the pride goes before a fall. Let a man take heed, lest when he thinks he's standing, he's going to fall. So Saul's walking in this thing, and now there comes a time, y'all know the story, where a sacrifice is to be made. Y'all remember that story? Saul says, what are we waiting on? Let's get this thing and do it. How many of you know Saul wasn't supposed to do that? But his idea is, I'm going to sacrifice. The prophet shows up and says, obedience is better than sacrifice. So what Saul does is he goes from hiding among the stuff to calling the shots on his own. And it seems as though we swing the pendulum too far one way or the other a lot of times in the church world. We're given the anointing, but we're either stuck in all the stuff, or we think we know enough now to depend on artificial intelligence and call the shots on our own. But that leads me in to what I want to preach about this morning, is that when we get to that place, and we start thinking about intellectually what we think should happen, and you put prompts into AI, you allow algorithms to talk to you, you know what that stuff is based on? Whether it's you thinking it, whether it's AI thinking it, all that stuff is based on experience. It's based on the past. Everything that you're going to do in life, when you get ready to do something, the first thing you think about was the last time you tried that. And I'm going to get, you know, off a little bit here, but just listen to me rant. The church, I think, sometimes falls into that category. Like they think, well, we tried that before, man. We went here and then we fell right back down. We went here, fell right back down. So it's almost like when we're riding that wave, we almost expect to go back down. Can I tell you something? Good surfers know when to get on a wave, and they know when to get off a wave before it crashes. I say we learn to become good surfers, and when God sends a move through, get on that thing and ride it for all it's worth, and then learn how to dismount before it crashes somewhere, and understand that you can't do anything about that wave. You're at the mercy of God to send a spiritual wave your way. You can't work it up. You can't praise it up. You can't think it up. All you've got to do is show up, submit yourself, and when God sends something through, have an eye, have an ear to hear, and get on that wave and ride it for all it's worth, because God is moving. Give Him a hand clap of praise. But we make decisions based on our past, based on our experience. AI is spitting stuff out to you based on algorithms, things you've asked before. You've heard me say this, I think, every week, and I'm going to say it again this week. It's probably fear 3B, and I ain't going to preach on it next week, but it's probably right up there tied with the one I'm talking about today, is that AI is going to make us dependent upon making decisions based on our experience in the past, when the Holy Spirit can give you revelation about the future, and that's what you should be basing your decisions on. Y'all with me? That's the biggest fear, is if we start just living on what we know already, we're in a world of hurt. And the other thing about AI, this is the third week in a row I mentioned it, it's working off of pleasing you. So everything, you've heard me say it, everything you mention can be the dumbest idea in the world, and it goes, what a great idea. Oh, that's an excellent idea. Here's how we can do that. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit ain't going to work off of algorithms. He's not going to work off the path. He's going to say, listen, it may not make sense what the Lord's asking you to do, but if you'll do this, He'll meet you in the future, because that's the one thing you cannot base your decision on that you don't have knowledge of, is what God is going to do in the future. I'm thankful that we sort of always operate like that. It seems to be like the Lord always prepares us for the future. I don't want to base what I do, I don't want to base what this church does off of the past. I want to base it off of what God wants to do in the future. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't have access to that. AI doesn't have access to that. Only the Holy Spirit has access to the will of God in your life. Was it Jeremiah that was told to go buy a field? Wasn't he the one told to be? And now here's, let me run you through this discourse here with Jeremiah. And some of you Bible scholars, correct me if I'm wrong. God speaks to Jeremiah, says, y'all going into exile. Y'all going to be taken from this land into captivity in exile. You're going to be taken out of here. And here's what I want you to do, Jeremiah. I want you to go buy this piece of property. Many of us would have looked at God and said, I don't know where you got your real estate business license. Y'all with me? That wasn't a good investment. He says, I want you to go buy that piece of property. You take that deed, you put it in the jar, you seal it up, and you bury it in dirt, because that's the promise that says you're going to go into exile, but I'm going to bring you back here. This investment looks like it's not going to be worth it, but I assure you, if you hang with me, that investment is going to be well worth it. You know why? All Jeremiah was working on was what he knew now, but God knew what was going to happen in the future. And it may not make any sense at all to you right now, but if you'll do what God tells you to do, I guarantee you He'll meet you in the future with whatever you need. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And it was a down payment, a deposit, for God to keep His word. Can I tell you that He's given us a down payment, a deposit, called the Holy Spirit? You know what it is? It's in a vessel in a bunch of dirt. Y'all know you're made from dirt. So God's placed that same promise on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit. But you know what? We're basing decisions off what we've done yesterday and last year, and basing decisions off of algorithms and AIs and technology. And God is saying this, if you'll ask, I'll give it. If you not, it'll be open. And when you go in, it's going to be revelation of tomorrow, just not living in the past. But He says, this is what you got to do. You got to ask. If you don't answer, ask again. He says, ask. Ask. As a matter of fact, if you look the Greek word up there for asking, it means like without shame. And if you don't know what that means, let me explain it to you. How many of you got kids? How many of you got kids that wanted something so bad that they were not ashamed to worry you to death? They want what they want. And you can tell them no, but they're persistent. Because somewhere down the line, I'm just going, a little parenting tip here. Somewhere down the line, you gave in. Right? I wouldn't surprise me. Some of them little varmints didn't know how many times they had to ask you. They might take note of it. If I ask, let's see, 13, 15, 14 times is the average. If I ask 14 times, I got a chance to get out of him what I need to get out of him. That's what the scripture's saying here. Jesus is saying this. Those kids that you know how to give good gifts to because they keep asking and asking, you got to become childlike. You got to keep asking and asking, because in faith you've got to believe that if you ask, you will receive. If you knock, it'll be opened unto you. This Holy Spirit will be given to you so that you can walk by revelation and not just by your past. I need you to understand that when the church and the individual was given the Holy Spirit, it wasn't to just hide in the stuff. Wasn't to get out front and make decisions on their own. I'll tell you something else that it wasn't made to do that many of us allow it to become. It was meant to be a river, not a reservoir. You know that? You've been given the Holy Spirit of God to lead you, direct you, guide you, bless other people. It can do so much for you, but what we do is we make it a reservoir. All we want to do is fill enough Holy Ghost to get goosebumps, raise our hands, feel the hair on the back of our neck a little bit, go home and go, man, it was good to be in church. But can I tell you, that's not why the Holy Spirit was given. To me, that's the same as hiding among the stuff. The Holy Spirit was given so that you could be a witness to Him into every part of the earth, into your family's home, into the neighborhood, into your community, into your county. The Holy Spirit was given to be a river that flows out of you, not a reservoir that just blesses you. But we've got to understand that if we've given that anointing, we got to get past a lot of stuff. We got to get out of that stuff and walk in the anointing of God in our lives. It's that powerful, that dunamis power, that breaking forth it talks about. And I would imagine one of the places that we hide among the stuff the most is when it becomes time to be a witness and be bold for the Lord. That's something AI can help you do. I'm going to tell you something. AI, your experience, it can give you answers. But the Holy Spirit can give you a confidence and a boldness when you speak, when you're a witness. But so many of us get stuck in all the stuff. You know one thing that's sort of left out of that progression that Jesus goes through when he says Jerusalem, he meant right there. Then he talks about Judea, which was the region. Then he says Samaria before he says the ends of the earth. You know who was in Samaria? Samaritans. We always look at that as location, but I'm going to tell you something. Jesus was talking about a lot more than location there. He was saying it's got to happen in your home. It's got to happen in your community, in your region. It's got to happen to the ends of the earth. But it's also got to happen for those people that you don't think a lot about. Those Samaritans. Jesus went out of his way to mention Samaria because he knew there were some people that the Jews didn't want to mingle with. They didn't want to get involved with. Can I tell you something? There's going to be people that you think, man, are they, you know, you got drug addicts and all these other people, and you're going to think and wonder to yourself and ask yourself, is it even possible? That's where you got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, direct you, and guide you. Let me make my point by saying this. If you were to AI, if you were to Google what the chances of somebody getting off drugs and turning their life around is, probably wouldn't be that great. If you worked off that, you'd go, they're not worth it. But I need you to understand the Holy Spirit doesn't ask Google before he delivers somebody. Y'all with me? The Holy Spirit doesn't look at the statistics and go, well, I don't know, man. There's already been 3 out of 10 over here. The Holy Spirit jumps over all of that because greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. And that Holy Spirit can deliver them no matter what they're in. But we got to quit hiding among the stuff. We've got to allow the Spirit of the Lord to get loose. Sort of like the dove that Chelsea preached about that one time. I knew where he was going because I knew in a camp meeting I'd heard it preached the same time he did, no doubt. Where that Jesus comes in and he turns all the tables over and he turns the doves loose from the cage. The dove is representative of the Holy Spirit. What Jesus was symbolically saying there is, y'all cage the Holy Spirit up. Can I tell you, when you see people up around this altar praying, when you see new people taking prayer requests, when you see new people teaching, when you see kids up around this altar getting in the presence of the Lord, that's because we have decided to take the dove out of the cage and allow the Holy Spirit to move in more than 3 or 4 people up on the platform. He's able to move through anybody at any time. If you ask AI or Google, they're going to get some different opinions about that. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, direct us, and guide us. Don't get so caught up in making your determination on the past. I wonder if you'd stand with me to your feet. I'm going to ask the guys back there in the media, is the live stream ended? All right, go ahead and end that live stream if you can, Dave.